This is Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, Rob Williams with you here. FourQuarterFriday.com. Chris Deering joins us now from Prep Red Zone. Chris is going to help us cover all things out of the Midlands. Chris is a well-respected writer that we have known for a long time, and we appreciate you jumping on with us, Chris. I know we got you off vacation. Ian Gearing got you off vacation and threw you right back into the fire this past week. I hope you've got a good reset heading into the football season.
Got a really good reset last week. Ready to get into it. You know, I was telling Rob earlier today, I got to have a work trip coming up here in a couple of weeks. Just gonna sort of derail me a little bit again, but unfortunately that's what pays the bills and you have to do those things. But you know, this is the passion and I keep coming back. I don't see myself going anywhere anytime soon, hopefully. And just keep hanging around. And like I tell everybody, this is year 38 of me doing this. And I really appreciate what you guys do and appreciate having me on. You guys do such a great job. And I watch everything that y'all do. And it's really great stuff.
Chris, we really appreciate that so much. And we also appreciate you and your work. You mentioned 38 years. I want to ask you, we've had some weird weather to start this, some major delays, some schools like Burn specifically in the upstate sticks out to me as one of the schools. Several around the state, though, South Point and Ridgeview, who not had very much preseason or week one action. Can you think of a time in 38 years where you've seen teams, you know, barely touch the field before week two?
That's a great question. I did go through a couple of hurricanes that derailed things, but that was later in the year. But I can't think of anything to kick off a year like this, just so much disruptive, with the schedule. And, you know, last weekend we had games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday. Ian Guerin joked on Twitter last night, you know, let's just do like MAC action and play every night of the week. And we sort of leaning towards that. You know, this week there was a Wednesday game. Some games got moved to Thursday. And then, you know, what we have on the docket for tonight.
Chris, obviously, being there stationed kind of in the Midlands, what teams are you excited about seeing? Because, for one, I guess I'm kind of leading you to, you know, Ridgeview's got Dutch Fork this week, and Ridgeview's a team that now, with Trey Howard back healthy, they're a club that I think may look different this year than they looked last year. Are there some other teams that pop up and you say, I really want to get my eyes on them before the playoffs start?
So, what we try to do at Prep Red Zone is, you know, we're going to see Dutch Fork in October and November. We know this without a doubt. And there's Ridgeview's in that list. Great Collegiate's probably sitting up there. Camden, you know, just some teams that we feel like are going to play deep into the postseason. So we don't try to, you know, see them early in the year. So we try to spread it around and get to as many schools as possible. But everybody wants to see Dutch Fork. You know, I want to see them now, but let's hold off and see them later in the season when we know they'll be playing their best football. That Ridgeview game is going to be fun, I think. A lot of talent on the field on both sides of the ball. Definitely will be keeping, you know, an eye on Twitter. Know a couple of reporters going to that game. So just keeping our eyes on everything as much as we can. There are some schools that I really want to see here early that I think the jury is still out on them. And it's not your powerhouse schools that you're used to talking about. And it's C.A. Johnson in Class A. They made a run in the postseason last year. And I really think they have a really good team. They had a lot of returners. Rodney Barr does a great job. He's coached at Lower Richland here in the Midlands. And now he's back with C.A. Johnson. I really like Keenan. I like what they're doing. You know, they're running back. Hunter O'Neill is really good. I think they got a chance to surprise some people. I know last week they had a shootout with Swansea, and Swansea ended up winning that game. So there are some teams that, you know, historically maybe people don't have on their radar that I think in the Midlands are really, really good. And it's some of the lower level classifications, and that's good to see, you know. I tell everybody talking about that C.A. Johnson team, they had to run in the postseason last year. And then you take it to basketball season and they won a state championship. And you've seen, or I've seen over my 38 years, where one sport wins something and it gains momentum. And, you know, people in the school will say, hey, I want to be a part of this too. And you got some of those guys that maybe should have been playing football before and saying, well, I'm going to go out for football and see what we can do. And it's really helped. And I think they have a really good team. And then last week, you know, I think the video of the week, in my opinion, last week was the Richland Northeast coach after they beat Spring Valley. That was, you know, I honestly didn't think much of Richland Northeast coming into this season. They were winless last year, and I didn't know what they had, but they're a team I want to see now. And he, you know, he drummed up the excitement for his squad, and, you know, more power to him. Let's see what he can do with it the rest of the year.
Yeah, you mentioned DeMarcus Simons over there at Richland Northeast came in late in the cycle and barely got the didn't really have much of a spring and got to work out with the guys during the summer and get his group together, but a dominant win in the opener in a rivalry game against Spring Valley. Speaking of openers, Chris, you had a battle of first year head coaches or first year at a new place, I should say, in Willie Alford at AC Flora and Vic Floyd over at White Knoll. Flora comes out with the win. It was a TV game in the Midlands on Friday night. Now you're going to get a chance to see Flora on a Thursday this week for anybody who wants to make sure they get out there for that one. Talk to me a little bit about the expectations for the Falcons this year. We have talked with Willie Alford extensively. And it's a roster that has a lot of questions coming into the year with some departures, but it looks like maybe they fill some holes.
Yeah, so it was a big turnover on that roster with not only, you know, they had some transfers, obviously, but they also were hit hard by graduation. Mm-hmm. They had a big senior class last year. Roper Winsky, a three-year starter. Excuse me. So they had some really good players depart the program. And I was questioning where they might be coming into this season. And that was a big win to go beat White Knoll last week. I felt like, you know, I didn't know what White Knoll had. They had to replace 10 starters on one side of the ball. And so they were a great unknown with a new head coach. And, you know, I like Willie Alford. I like what he's doing. And you know, I'm just going to be transparent. That's the school right down the street for me. So it's a lot easier for me to get the AC Flora than there's a lot of schools around the Midlands. But know a lot about them. You know, Rick Scott had a really good big game against White Knoll. And then the running back, Gaddis, and I'm pretty certain he's a transfer from Lower Richland. Hadn't looked into that fully yet, but I think he is. And, you know, the Simmons guy that they had running back coming back, I think he's injured and unable to play right now. So they have some pieces. And from the looks of it, from what I saw, the highlights and everything, they look to be big, fast, and physical again. And anytime you got that combination, you could play with a lot of people and beat a lot of people.
Yeah, Chris Deering joining us. Prep Red Zone. Get over there. Just follow Chris and all of them. Rickson Lane, Jed Blackwell, Ian Gear, and everybody out there on X, and go to Prep Red Zone to get some great coverage. Chris, what did you make of North Augusta, not just losing to Strom Thurmond, but the Rebels kind of put it on them? And coming into that game, I thought North Augusta might be, and maybe they still are. You know, that was the point you made a moment ago, that the jury is still out on a lot of teams. And Strom Thurmond is a 2A team, but they're the defending state champs. But I don't know. Did that open your eyes at all, raise your eyebrows to see North Augusta lose the way that they did?
So, you know, even on vacation last week, I talked to some people, and that was one of the games we talked about. And I was not surprised by that outcome. Strom Thurmond had a lot of talent coming back, and, you know, to have a Hillary at quarterback, and that team's going to be really hard to beat in 2A this year again, I feel like. North Augusta, they lost their top running back. He graduated from last year. But I do think they have pieces. And, you know, they play Lexington this week. Earlier today, as a matter of fact, Lou Bajak and I were texting back and forth about that game. You know, what did we think? And, you know, Lexington put up a lot of points last week against Midland Valley. But I think North Augusta's a little bit better than Midland Valley. So it might be a little bit tougher going for the Wildcats this week. But I like this North Augusta team. They are always athletic. You love what they do. And they're going to be a team again. Come late October, November, I think they are going to be a team that's going to be poised to play deep into the playoffs.
Chris, tell us a little bit about where you're going this Friday night and what you expect out of the two teams that you're going to see. I know that you mentioned it, and I'll spoil it a little bit. The number one name on my list for this game is obviously Tyquarius Shannon, as an electric athlete for Fairfield Central that if people don't already know, they need to get to know him. But tell us what you're looking for there.
Well, to be perfectly honest, he is the reason I'm going. I've not put eyes on him. I did not see Fairfield Central last year, and I've heard a lot of great things about the Shannon kid. I've watched a lot of his huddle stuff. He looks fantastic. And, you know, what we do at Prep Red Zone is we rate players and rank players. And I want to put my eyes on him and see what he does in a football setting. You know, we've seen him in combines and how he does there. I want to see him in a football setting and see what he does on the field. So he is the main reason I've picked that game, you know, in the preseason to go to Fairfield. Again, I didn't see him last year, so I wanted to see him this year. And it also gives us a chance to see a Chester team that's, you know, sort of rebuilding. We talked about they got a good running back in Feaster, but they're trying to put the pieces back together. And they're not really in my coverage area, so it's a chance to see a team from outside of my area that I don't get to see all the time.
Yeah, you can't just rely on Travis Jenkins' word when it comes to all those Chester teams, right?
That's right, yeah. I mean, love Travis to death. He does a great job, but, you know, he might be a little biased with those teams up there.
Oh, unquestionably biased. Chris, also, you know, I thought maybe I'm wrong. You've seen even more than I have. I felt like there were quite a few upsets in week one, but it wasn't, you know, it's kind of like North Augusta Strom Thurmond. It wasn't upsets in terms of the name value. It was upsets because of the classification. Since reclassification, we had a lot of, I thought, 2A teams stepping up, knocking off 4A teams or 3A teams. I don't know. I don't know if that's gotten a little bit jumbled. I just wanted to get your take on it, your read on it. I just feel like maybe 2A is almost as strong at the top, at least, as the middle of 4A is.
I think that's a fair assessment. Like I said, 2A is really strong at the top, I feel like. They can pretty much line up with anybody. And, you know, with Fairfield Central now in 1A, and I think, you know, Bamberg Earhart last year, and I think even this year, they can line up and play with most teams in the state. And, you know, they got kids going both ways and they don't get a lot of a break like these 5A schools do, but man, those 18 to 20 players he's putting out there on the field, they can flat out play. And I think you see the gap is shrinking across classifications, because when you get football players that can play, it don't matter, I don't think. And, you know, I do worry about a great collegiate in 5A, because let's just face it, they have 30 to 35 players on their roster. That's hard to compete week in and week out. It's just like in the college game when you know, you want to talk about the Big Ten and the SEC. It's hard to play in those conferences. And then, you know, when you do play somebody out of conference, you might be beat up and not ready to play. So I think the same thing in high school football, when you don't have the numbers and you got to play kids both ways. And if you get a key person hurt, you're probably down two positions. And so that really hurts you too. So it'll be interesting to see some of these games. Again, this is, Lou Bajak and I were together Monday night at the Columbia High Eau Claire game and talking a lot. And, you know, Lou, I think he said he went less than 500 on his picks last week, and he never does that bad. And I said, yeah, I said, I don't think I'd have been much better just looking at how the results turned out. But this is probably one of those seasons. You know, we know Dutch Fork, we know South Point, we know Northwestern, we know Bamberg, we know all the teams at the top. But when you get past those first probably five teams in each classification, I think there's a lot of great unknowns, and we're going to have to learn about these schools week by week. And I think that probably has to do with the transfer situation the way it is right now. And you know, I told somebody in the preseason that there's probably going to be a game in week four that I go out and see somebody playing. I was like, well, I didn't know that kid transferred over here. So it's just, we're still learning. And I think, you know, by October, we'll have this thing down and probably figure out who the top teams are. And, you know, that's region play, and things will be rocking and rolling at that point.
Chris, you tee me up. This is the last one. We'll wrap up here. You talk about teams that are unknown and that you have question marks about. You mentioned a few of them earlier. Is there one team that still sticks out in your mind where you go, this might be a really sleeper under the radar team that we're not sure about yet, that you maybe one that you're still investigating?
Well, and now people's getting ready to call me a homer. I think Berkeley is still a great unknown. You know, I have them ranked in the 5A poll. They were ranked this week after not being ranked in the preseason. They beat a really a Stratford team last week, 36-0. Was not surprised they beat Stratford. I was surprised at the margin of victory. And, you know, obviously I know a lot about this Berkeley team from growing up down there and playing down there and being from that area. And, you know, a four-year starter in Henry Rivers at quarterback. But I think my question mark for them was the defense and the shutout Stratford, who, you know, they have a rebuild because they lost a lot of their skill people from last year. But to shut them out and the way they did it, the manner they did it, that really impressed me. And I told somebody, I don't think we're going to really know about this Berkeley team until they play Somerville on September the 11th, because the schedule's not the toughest over the next couple of weeks. But I think when they have Somerville come to Monk's Corner on that September the 11th, we'll learn more about them and see if they are really a contender or, you know, just beating up teams that aren't that good. And then when you play somebody good, don't show up and produce like they did last year against Irma in the playoffs.
No, Chris, you may be a homer, but I agree with everything about Berkeley. What a statement. I'm right there with you. 36-0. I had to look at it twice and I said, is this a misprint just because of what they've done? So Chris, we'll let you go. Everybody, we want you to go to Prep Red Zone and PrepRedZone.com. How can they find you on X? Because you do a great job of updating everything you're seeing throughout the season.
Yeah, I try to do it as best I can. CDaring82 is my Twitter handle, or X. And, you know, I try to keep track of things. Sometimes during the week I lose focus because of, you know, that daytime job gets in the way a little bit. But I try to do a good job of wrapping it up at least at night. And then Friday, you know, everybody across the state is retweeting everybody. And I think that's a good thing. And that's what we need to do to promote these kids and get these teams and the names out there. And, you know, this is why I'm in the business, to promote the kids, and let's keep doing that as a group. And again, appreciate what you guys do. It's a great thing. And keep doing what you're doing, because it's awesome stuff.
No, same to you, Chris. We always retweet you. We know that it's real. We trust your opinions, your analysis, and what you're seeing. I don't know if we retweeted any of those pictures from you in the beach in your short shorts. I don't know if we retweeted any of those, but
there was a rumor I had a thong on, but I don't know where that rumor came from, because that is a rumor.
All right. We'll retweet everything but the topless photos from CDaring82. PrepRedZone.com. Chris, we really appreciate it. We'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks. Enjoy the Chester and Fairfield Central game. This is 4QuarterFriday.com. We're living for the glory.